The General Assembly just took place in Washington, D.C., as thousands of American Jews came together to talk about some of the most serious topics facing Jewry today. Joining me is the Executive Vice President, Shira Hutt of the JFNA, the Jewish Federations of North America. Thank you so much for joining me here at the Media Line.
Thank you.
Shira, it's not an easy event to put together, particularly after a war that isn't totally over. I mean, it's over in practicality between Israel and Hamas, but it's been extremely difficult in terms of the Jewish communities in North America, particularly where you had to spend 2 years raising a lot of money to help towards war efforts. You came out saying we finally have reached our peak. $908 million was raised. What happened with that bulk of the money and what is ahead?
One of the terms that made its way to the main stage several times during the last few days that we were together with our 2,000 attendees that joined us from across North America and Israel and even other parts of the world was that we're really at an inflection point. This was really, in many ways, the perfect time to come together. We had the opportunity to come together and really embrace this miraculous moment where the living hostages are all home, and we were able to actually start the General Assembly by hearing from four of these amazing former hostages that joined us on our main stage. And it was an opportunity to really lean into this moment, as you said. The $908 million that was raised since October 7th has been deployed to frankly address issues across Israel in so many ways. I believe we supported hundreds of NGOs and communities, and so we reflect and are so grateful for that. And we also look ahead. There's a lot more work to do, and federations are already deeply engaged in the work of rebuilding Israel, and that work will continue in the months and years ahead.
Is it difficult to prioritize, the problems that really are coming about? You're talking about so many different sectors in Israel and also different borders, the north, the south, the interior of Israel that was hit during the Iranian war with rockets coming in. Where do you begin? How do you determine how funding is allocated? And is it something that each federation is going to determine independently as well?
One of the reasons that federations were able to mobilize and respond so effectively and so quickly following October 7th is because federations have been deeply engaged in the work in Israel for decades, and there's deep relationships with communities across the country with different efforts, and so that work will continue. And again, we're going to respond to different needs across all communities, and that will both be done in a collective way, which is really one of the beautiful aspects of our federation system, because we can work all together, all 141 federations, and those more unique and specific relationships that exist will also continue to lead to important impacts. So really, it's both of those parts of the response will continue.
October 7th happens, and there's this power charge of anti-Semitism that just seeped throughout not just the United States, but globally. Were the federations ready for that?
Such a good question. So I'll say that when October 7, when it when we all faced that horrific day, the Jewish Federation system had already begun a couple years before we embarked on an initiative called Live Secure, which focused on ensuring that every community across North America, every one of our Federation communities, had a or would have a professionally run community security program. This was an effort that Began soon after the attack in the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018, when we understood that we had to take even greater steps to ensure that every Jewish community had that security infrastructure. At the time, there were probably no more than a dozen or so communities that had that infrastructure in place. By the time we reached October 7th, we were well on our way to achieving that goal of securing all communities. We still had some work to do. And in fact, one of the things that we also marked at the General Assembly this week is completion of that goal. There are now security programs across the entire Federation system. There's today 136 professionally run programs. On that note, we feel that we were very much equipped for this moment. And federations have always historically been also engaged in what traditionally has been called community relations work. We also call that civic engagement. And that work has had to really expand. We've had to do more of that over the past 2 years, and that's an arena that we feel that there's even more need, more opportunity. And as we continue to focus both on physical security, we will also now be spending even more of our attention and making sure that our communities are able to also engage civically across society, because frankly, it's our responsibility as leaders of the Jewish community to do so.
I think it's important to talk about what's driving all of the problems that you've seen. The really deep hate, the anti-Semitic acts, and particularly not just where it's coming from, but you even have sometimes Jews engaged in these activities as well. So if you look back at it, do you feel that it's because young people weren't invited to engage in Jewish discussion and dialogue? Is it that the community isn't well informed enough? You know, how would you look at this picture? And maybe every state is different, but looking at sort of holistically, what's the big problem?
This was actually one of the topics that was addressed in many, many parts of the General Assembly, both on the main stage and in countless featured sessions. It's a good question. I would say that at the root, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation that is exacerbated by, of course, social media, which was a topic that we talked a lot about at the General Assembly. Also in mainstream media, we were joined by Olivia Rheingold from the Free Press, who talked about her experience this summer, discovering that the photos that were used to drive the starvation narrative in Gaza were fabricated for this particular story. And so we really delved into those issues in order to understand what are the sectors of society that we need to, again, lean in, be involved, educate people, and also call out anti-Semitism whenever we see it.
Do you get pushback? Do you feel that outsiders, non-Jews that really don't understand what you're talking about right now, are pushing back against what you're trying to accomplish?
I think that there too, there's a need for education. I think that many people just don't know. We can't assume that they have the information. Certainly that they don't even know where there are challenges that the Jewish community is facing. So here too, the opportunity to bring people in, to engage them, to educate them, I think will only help the Jewish community as we navigate these challenges in the months and years ahead.
Looking at education and Jewish education in particular, you've always had pockets in the United States of those that go to Jewish day schools, whether they're religious or secular, those that only might show up on a Friday or a Sunday or whenever they can get a class in between, and those that don't attend at all. Where did the Jewish community go wrong in this sector?
Yeah, it's I appreciate the question. I think of it a little bit differently. I think there's a lot that we're doing right. I think there's incredible initiatives, organizations, efforts across the continuum of Jewish life. And this is a moment where there's an opportunity to do more and engage more people. There's an unprecedented surge in Jewish engagement that we've seen since October 7th. That surge continues to 2 years after October 7th. And so it's an opportunity to figure out how can we connect more Jewish families to programs like Hillel and summer camps and early childhood education and day school, which is certainly important for the education of children who experience education in that setting, but also an incredible way to deepen the engagement of families as an entire unit. So that's really the way we look at this moment, and we really talked about those issues also. In particular, I'll give you an example. We had a session that focused on strengthening the pipeline of Jewish children, Jewish families that both come to Jewish early childhood education, but then could be encouraged to continue their education in day school settings. So again, lots of good thinking that's already being applied to this, and hopefully more good work to come in the years ahead.
The non-Jew listening, observing the things that have gone down amongst the Jewish community, hearing what you have to say, what's your message to them?
I think the message at this moment is, first of all, we're deeply, deeply committed to our communities, the entirety of our communities, not just the Jewish community. We are part of the community, far, and ensuring that the Jewish community can feel safe and can flourish really gets to the heart of just building strong civil societies in general, and making this world the best world it can be. And so we are committed to that in all things that we do. And we also hope that we have deep and continued allyship and partnership in making sure that that's true for the Jewish community and for everyone who gets to benefit from our incredible countries, be it here in the United States or in Canada, that make up the North American Jewish community.
October 8th Jew, the Jew that knew nothing and said, "Look what happened on October 7th. I can't sit back. I need to find my root." So many people that we interviewed and spoke to over the course of 2 years, where someone would say, "I'm really a Jew by birth because my father's Jewish, but I'm Jewish and I feel Jewish and I'm aligning with what's happening." Do you see this keen interest? Do you see this keen interest in Judaism at this time, greater than it's ever been?
Absolutely. That's really the surge that I was talking about a few minutes ago. We have data that shows that the surge is unprecedented. Right after October 7th, the surge was at about 40% of Jewish community members who hadn't previously wanted to engage and connect, really searching for that at this time, and that trend continues. It's diminished a little bit. It's at about 30%, which again continues to offer a remarkable opportunity, but also shows us that we must do something now about it. We must find ways to connect people that are looking to be part of the community, make sure they know that they are part of us, they belong. And again, that's a lot of the work that we're focused on doing by lifting up all the great organizations and efforts across Jewish life.
Are you seeing that shift happening amongst different age levels? Is it multi-generational? And where is the greatest impact capacity?
Yeah, it's a great question. What we're seeing both in the data and what we're hearing anecdotally from our partners, from our federations, is that surge is being seen and felt across the board. We hear stories all the time about programs and events and all sorts of initiatives that are at capacity, or events that are standing room only, because again, people want to join, they want to be part of the community, they want to learn and be educated as well. And so again, this is something that the community is responding to, and we believe that there could even be more work to make sure that we're maximizing the surge in the months and years ahead.
How do you get involved in the Federation, and what drew you to become so outspoken about the very core issues you just discussed?
I've had the privilege of working in the Jewish professional sector for the past 25 years, and I joined the Jewish Federations of North America about 6 years ago, and I've never been more inspired by the work that I personally get to do, and know that as a federation system, we really are able to help support the flourishing of Jewish life in all its forms, including also focusing on those challenges that you talked about that are today foundational to making sure that Jewish life can flourish. Things like combating anti-Semitism and securing our communities, though, in order by ensuring that our communities are safe, we're also ensuring that people can access Jewish life, that they can fully embrace all of the wonderful opportunities that are presented to them across communities.
Jirahat, Executive Vice President of the Jewish Federations of North America. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.